One, two, Gordon's coming for you. Three, four, Chica's at the door.
I don't have a door, I've got a elevator.
Five, six, better get your fix.
Or in this case, maybe your ticks, because we're going to be talking about sweat ink.
Ooh. Seven, eight, Jim is at the gate.
And it's not where the ponies are.
Oh, yes, we're going to be doing Moron's Gone Wild also, so that's where I can fit Jim Williams in.
Oh, jeez.
And
here, I've got the scariest thing for you.
Ooh, what's that?
Simon Cowell's coming back to your television.
Oh, my God!
You say that like it's a bad thing. It's not. It really isn't. And we'll talk about it.
Yes, we will. All right.
And we'll talk about that, and Leszek Polowitz, and a lot of other people. Because in Somewhere in America, this episode of We Love to Interrupt is on. Happy Halloween.
I want my mommy.
Ah, hope you enjoyed our little Happy Halloween intro. I'm Chico Alexander, alongside my partner in crime fighting, Gordon Pepper.
Yo.
And in the booth this week, and playing the role of Jason Block, is the lovely and talented Mr. Jim Williams. How you doing?
Yay!
Wow, I actually am bald now. This is great. I am bald. I don't have the Brooklyn accent, thank goodness. But no, Jason, by the way, conspicuous by his absence because, according to my sources, he's been running down the streets of Brooklyn, streaking over his team, the New York Mets, getting to the World
Series. Wait. Is his team the New York Mets?
Oh, he's told me that countless times. This is his team.
I got something for his team.
But we'll get to that. But right now,
getting to that.
We need to get to some business. We had two new shows premiere this week. One is scary and gory and full of bodily fluids and should not be seen by young people or adults or anyone for that matter. The other is Elevator.
Ah!
Let's discuss Elevator because this one was actually the good show of the two this week. And, Chico, I believe you have the basics on this. We'll break this down.
I do have the basics of this. We have a team of three people. They descend toward... Think of it as the crystal maze in an elevator. You have a team of three. They go down the elevator. Each floor has a challenge that one must complete in a given time period. Not only do they have to complete the challenge, they have to return to the elevator. Otherwise, it goes on without them. And at the bottom of the elevator is, of course, hell. In the form of a combined challenge for all three players in which they all run into components of the first three challenges. And if you do it right, you could win up to $50,000. But the best part of it is the Twisted Twins, Jen and Sylvia Soska, are taunting you all the way.
Are talking to you, talking at you, and sometimes
talking
trash
about
you. Yes. That's pretty much the basic breakdown. Going to a little bit more specifics. The first challenge is worth $5,000. The second one is $10,000. The third one is $15,000. Each person that in the elevator picks the person that they feel can do the best task. Keeping in mind, of course, that for each fail, you have one less person to complete the final challenge. The final challenge, or at least in this first episode, is that there's money scrambled all over the place, up to $20,000. Their objective is to get as much of it as they can and get out of there. Obviously, if they don't, they lose everything and they're trapped forever. Dun, dun, dun.
Sorry.
Okay, so let's...
It's Halloween. We're allowed to do that.
Yeah, we are. So, let's talk about the good. First of all, the game is central to everything, and the players are stars in their own horror movie, and that's what a good game show is. You have players who are the stars, and the game is the star, and the game and the players work in tandem together, and it's well-met and well-paced. That is really good. And also, the if you're, again, if you're a fan of the Paranormal Activity movies, the Purge movies, the Saw movies, you kind of get a feel for Jen and Sylvia Soska in their little element, their little control room, controlling the havoc and laughing at you.
I liked a lot of that. I really liked the production values of the show. I thought the production values of the show were extremely high, especially for a game show network product. So I thought the production values were fine. In terms of the gameplay, we've seen this before. We've seen all of it before. If you've seen A State of Panic, you've definitely seen it. If you've seen The Crystal Maze, you've seen this. But I'm labeling it as good because this is actually exactly what you should be having for this sort of show. So the schematics on the show was perfect based on the way that it was set up. The production values really let this go a long way, and I probably liked the twins better than you did. I thought they were really good. I thought, first episode a little raw, but I think they're going to get better. So I really like this, and it's surprising for me to say that for anything. However, you know, with the cheers goes a little booze, and I don't mean ghosts going boo, even though I can. Boo. Your biggest issue here is this, and I'm going to ask Chico questions that I know he's going to have the answer for. How long was the first task?
I would have to say about 5 minutes.
How long was the second task?
I would have to say about 4 minutes.
How long was the third task?
I would have to say about 3 minutes.
And how long was the final task?
I would have to say at least 3 minutes.
Nice and say 5. So you have 17 minutes worth of game in a 45-minute show.
Yeah. And the game
that's
doesn't...
even worse than the chase, and the chase is pretty slow.
Well, here's the thing about that, and here's the thing about all of that. It's not even 5 minutes for the floor. It's 5 minutes for the game. So you still have to progress through all of that stuff to get to your challenge. And
right.
Then there's the whole editing. And then there's the whole editing!
Yeah, it's not as quick-paced as what it should be. What bails it out is the entertainment value of the show, because, again, the twins are very good. They pick some very good contestants. The scenery standpoint is good. It's sort of like a Halloween Fear Factor sort of show, again, meets the Crystal Maze and Saw and some of the other aspects that you had. I think this would work as a half-hour show. I don't think you need the full hour. That being said, I was bored a little bit, but it wasn't terrible. And it's a fun game. It's fun to play. Jim, any thoughts?
It is fun. I was waiting for them to get on with it, but I'll let Jim have the floor.
Get on with it! No. I like the premise of it all. I like seeing it in action. You're right, the twins with you could say an MST3K kind of feel, just needling, poking, prodding at any given moment, which is great. The one thing that comes to my mind about this show is, would it work in any other time of year? Would this work as something that is not like a Halloween one-off kind of thing? That's the thing, because, I mean, this was built around, ooh, it's right around Halloween. This is the kind of show you might want to watch for a little spook, for a little fun. Can it be a standalone on its own, say, in the middle of winter or spring?
I don't think so, and it's the same, well, I don't want to call it a problem, but it was the same issue that had the American Bible Challenge last as long as it did, is that, you know, that's the sort of show that you could only put on around Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'll disagree with you completely. I definitely think that it could work. One of the things that we have is we have two things up in New York. We have Times Square, which runs 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have something called Brighton Asylum, and shout out to my friends that work the event. But yes, obviously you have Halloween, but you have a Christmas version of it with Santa Claus gone bad. You have an Easter version with a bunny gone bad.
Mm.
You know, like, every month they have, like, something different, like something gone wrong in each thing. I definitely think that this show would work outside of Halloween. They just have to be clever enough to come up with different events, different challenges. And there's a lot, and you can just take Fear Factor, for example, as the sheer volume of challenges that you can do without being repetitive and without growing stale. The problem that its Data Panic ran into is that it had the same challenges a couple of times. Mm-hmm. This is the sort of show that as long as they can stay original and creative and do different events based on the themes, like you could do a movie theme, you could do a holiday theme, as long as they stay original and they don't get bored, this is a show that can last for a while.
Okay. Indeed. I'll tell you right now, the initial ratings are very favorable. It attracted 503,000 viewers. And that was on par with your Chase, your original run Lingos, your Baggages. And that's good news for GSM.
Related. That's renewable. That's a renewable
very good number. News. And the better news is that we like the show.
Yeah.
So the pacing stops me from giving it an A, but I will give it a solid B+. I liked it.
I will agree. It's a B+. If you're a fan of Fear Factor, if you're a fan of the Saw movies, go ahead and give it a watch. Maybe even give it a season pass. I know I'm going to give it a season pass. What say you, Jim?
I'll give it a solid B. You can only do so much, like you say, like Gordon rightly said. It's not reinventing the format, per se, or the wheel, because we've seen the tasks and whatnot. It's putting a nice veneer over top of it, and a very good veneer, let the record state, production-wise. It's a B. It can improve, and I want to see it improve. I hope it has a little bit of a lifespan on GSN.
Okay, so that's the scary good. Now the just plain scary. Jillian Michaels is back on television, gentlemen. And she's brought search for the next great fitness phenomenon with her. Whatever happened to just running on a treadmill, folks?
Whatever happened to going on QVC?
Everybody's right here. This is not really. Let me call this how it is, and I'm going to put my hand on the great pumpkin. This is not a game show. This is an infomercial contest.
Basically.
But if you promise to tell a friend to get some word-of-mouth advertising, we will get you the $40 Dial-O-Matic food slicer absolutely free.
But wait, there's more. We'll throw in really bad rating of an F for fail, because this is really all the time that I'm going to get in this show. It's a contest for the next great infomercial, and I love Jillian Harris to death, but she's...
Jillian Michaels. Jillian Harris.
Whatever. I screwed this up last week. I'll do this again this week. I love Jillian Michaels to death, but... It's what it is, and what it is a really badly configured infomercial.
For goodness sake.
I mean, correct me if I'm wrong here. Yeah.
No, you're right on the money, and in fact, NBC is doing something very, very similar in a more compact form during the Today Show with QVC and Jill Martin teaming up to try to find the next big product to sell on QVC. And it's in a truncated format and has judges and is probably actually a bit better than this. Infomercials aren't what they once were. That's, again, using the Steve Bryant card, since the most popular infomercial of all time was the Ronco Showtime Barbecue, and that thing has been on for 11 years. It had, you know, in
my
standard def.
My still works, actually.
Yeah, well, there you go. Set it and forget it, baby. But, I'm just going to give this an incomplete because I didn't watch it because I didn't want to watch it. Partially because I'm not the biggest fan.
You saved your brain cells for an hour.
Yes, I did. And I had to deal with pony references. No, but I'm not a big fan of Jillian Michaels, considering the show she was formerly a part of and was part of a problem with, if you catch my drift.
Uh-huh.
But this is nothing new. This is nothing good that's new. It's just sort of there.
Yeah, it really is. I'm going to give it a... I had to give it a D. Then I actually sat through the whole thing again. Have to lower it to a D... Well, I have to lower it to a D-. Yes, the meat is there in the sandwich, but let's face it, this is a love letter to Jillian Michaels from Jillian Michaels.
Yes, the meat is in the sandwich. The problem is that there's mold in it, and maybe you need the mold away or the shaker thing or whatever item that you want in order to clear out the mold off of the meat from your sandwich.
Hey, maybe you can create the item that can create the get rid of the mold and get an infomercial out of it, Gordon.
Oh, joy. Well, can I call it the Carolinator, and so that we can stop talking about the show?
Yeah. Yes, you can call it the Cowlinator.
By the way, fun
Chico
fact.
Chico gives it the D-. I fail the show completely. Let's move on.
Yes.
Hey, let's move on. Simon Cowell is coming back to television.
Now, for those who like him, you're in luck, because he's going to do the exact same thing that he did on American Idol, which is judge and be really nasty to people, except he's got a bigger stage to do it on, which is America's Got Talent.
Now, here's the thing. We all know Simon Cowell's the creator of the Got Talent franchise, so if anybody knows the baby, if anybody knows how to feed the baby, it's him. Now, the last couple of years, we've seen the judging panel. They've been playing nicey-nice, and everybody's all shiny and happy. With this new... I'm going to go with Jim first, because he is the impartial observer of all of this, comparatively. With this new acquisition in judging, is this going to improve the quality of the judge?
This new old judge sort of, kind of, if you will?
This new old judge, yes.
I don't know. I'm inclined to say not really. Yes, you're going to get Simon as you knew him and loved him, or in some cases hated him 15 years ago, or even as recent as 8 or 9 years ago. But as we've also seen when he's done X Factor and these type of shows across the pond, he's not the same snarky guy that he was. Not completely, I should say. The same snarky D-bag guy that he was on American Idol. He could be that way, but he seemed a little more kind and genuine. A little nicer. Do I think he improves the talent we get to see? Not really, no. To me, this just seems like a desperation grab for NBC. It seems as though, okay, we've got our big guy Howard out of the equation. Now you got a bunch of softies. We got to harden it up a little bit. And we can't get back, what's his name, Piers Morgan, because, well, nobody wants him. I don't think England wants him, for that matter. So it's just a name grab. It's an absolute name grab, and I'm sure ratings are going to spike for it initially, but will it be better than any other series? I don't know.
Well, here's my take on it. I think that, well, first of all, America's Got Talent is still the number one rated show during the summer. There's nothing that took that.
Right.
And it still was the number one show during the summer this year, so it's not really desperation. I think that is the best choice that NBC could have made, was to get Simon Cowell. Again, you're replacing Howard Stern. Howard Stern is the big bad guy on the set. Now, he's not really a bad guy. They sort of took that away the past couple of years, and that's really helped the show out. Because you don't have the, uh-oh, here comes the big bad guy. Now, if you noticed on Simon Cowell during the British version of the show, Britain's Got Talent, and Jim is right, and he alluded to it, Simon is a much nicer person in the UK than he is in the US. If he keeps that style where he is sort of nice, but still nasty when he needs to be, I think it'll work. I don't think there's going to be any issues. Again, keeping in mind that the show is still number one, and they really haven't had any problems in terms of ratings. Your bigger issue isn't Simon Cowell. Your bigger issue is the talent base itself.
Yes.
And I actually posted up on my Facebook the times and scheduling for this year's open call for America's Got Talent. You haven't seen that. This is the first time that they've actually put out the open call on Facebook and in public. And I think they're concerned about the level of talent that they had. That may be the bigger concern now than you had, because this year, more than any other year, you had, and we've noticed this and we've made fun of this, you've had America's Gotten Talent that we've seen before somewhere else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I brought
and they
this
don't
up
want that. They want the talent you haven't seen before.
We want people.
So I think that's going to be their bigger issue than Simon Cowell is.
I agree wholeheartedly. It all comes down to getting talent, getting undiscovered talent. That's
right.
The term. Because again, you remember a few months back, when I put everybody on blast over the whole Freddie Starr, having seen him God knows how many times over the last 20 years on television.
If the magic dragon, we've seen him before.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, and nothing against him. Hey, it's in the rules. Good. More power to him. But I
there's
think it's
nothing illegal about it. But American Idol started its ratings started to dip during season 7 once all the dates came out, and once we said, well, wait a second, why are these people here? They've had records already.
Yeah.
Some of them have been successful. So why are they on the show now? That's when American Idol started to dip, once the shine came off the rose, so to speak, and once people realized, well, wait a second, these aren't the new hitters anymore.
Right.
And then it started to go down, and everybody became too polished and too professional. America's Got Talent, now going into, I believe it's 11th season, it's going to have that same problem. So that's the bigger issue that they have to fix here.
Agreed wholeheartedly.
Indeed. Indeed. Again, Simon's not the problem. Simon knows this baby more than anybody, and if NBC could have grabbed anybody to fill Howard's chair, it would be him, who's not only the creator and producer of the show, but also a voice of the people, as it were. He says the things that you're saying at home.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, and again, thank you to Raina Aploff, want to drop her name, for putting the names and dates out there. The problem is, we have to find original untapped talent. So we're bringing the show, to the masses.
Sort of back to its roots, really, when you get right down to it.
Casting the net, seeing what we get from it.
We will get to answer the question, David Letterman. We were going to answer the question David Letterman has asked years ago. Is there still talent? Because as you know, ladies and gentlemen, we are dying. We are losing talent by the day, ladies and gentlemen.
I think there is. I think the producers need to do a better job going to different places to find it. Now, can they find their talent on a deserted island somewhere? That is the question. Because right now, Monica does not have the talent.
Monica Padilla, you do not have talent.
Oh, beep!
Yeah. Unfortunately...
Yeah. I'm sorry, you go first, but I'll tell you exactly what the issue is.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have another person. We have another case of somebody playing the game way too soon. How does a bucket of clams cost Monica a bucket of clams, Gordon?
Well, here's how the boat. Well, yeah, you had two problems with the clams. Number one, she had an issue with the person that she wanted to vote with, which is, hey, it's the favorite person that lets us get in trouble again. Hey there, how do we deal with a problem like Maria? But here's your bigger problem. Your bigger problem is this. Right now, you are comfortable in an alliance of four. Your target is Kelly Wigglesworth. This should not be a problem. Now, all of a sudden, you turn around to your biggest ally in the game and goes, let's form a women's alliance. Let's vote the guys out. Without doing your homework and realizing that the woman that you're talking to, her main alliance, is the other two guys that you want to get rid of. So, yeah, that's bad. That sends off the red flags immediately saying, you know what? We can deal with Kelly later. She's still part of the minority alliance. We need to get rid of the threat that's threatening my teammates now. And so that winds up happening. You have a 3-2-1 split vote. Monica wanted to get rid of Spencer. You had two votes for him. You had the other three going to her, and she's gone. Ironically enough, Kelly, who probably, I'm hoping, grows a brain after that tribal council, is the sole other vote, and she sort of has to figure out what she's doing. So, and you also had two votes against her. So Kelly's got to figure out what's going on, and she better figure it out quickly, because if Bayon loses again, I'm sure she's going to be on the block.
Yep. Again,
my island,
huh? Well, again, it's like Monica was basically playing to the wrong people. She was playing too hard, too fast, and to the wrong people.
Well, you have to think a step ahead. That's the wrong step.
Yeah.
You know, if anything, if she wanted that all-women's alliance, she should have gone after the other two women that were there.
And at an earlier point in time, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but she didn't, and she played too hard, and that's why she's out. And ironically enough, she's out because she couldn't get along with anybody in the sandbox. Now, we didn't have sandboxes in this version of in this part of the
Wait, race, wait, there was one more little sort of detail that was overlooked this week.
Okay.
And that is the matter of Terry Dietz. Now, how strong do you think Terry was in this game?
I think Terry's going to be in deep trouble if her tribe loses. I'll just put it that way. You do not, under any circumstance, let the rest of the tribe go off and plan things without you.
Well,
Survivor is a social game more than anything else. And if everybody is bonding except Terry, that is a major, major problem for Terry.
Yeah, sets himself up for failure. Sets up Terry for failure.
She's setting herself up for the tribe has spoken, use her to which goodbye.
Yeah. Well, in the next episode, we'll talk about this next week. According to multiple sources, it seems like Terry Dietz, instead of electing to go through with all this torture, he elects to quit the game.
Dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
Dirty deeds done dirt cheap. Very nice. Of course, we'll talk more about this next week, but right now, let's talk about The Amazing Race.
Now, this was the second part of the two-part episode that started last week, where it was an incredibly long lap featuring elephants and the first team to completely and utterly and not blow an express pass.
Yeah. Right, well, Phil gave us the clues at the pit stop, and they have to travel to the Lookout Cafe and search for the next clue, which was the roadblock, and in the roadblock, who wants to gorge themselves? Anybody?
Mm-mm.
Nobody wants to gorge themselves, so... But one team member has to gorge themselves because they have to participate in a flashback on the Batoka Gorge from Season 1. Team member had to strap down...
Which is beautiful, by the way.
It really is. It's very picturesque, let's say. Team member had to strap down on the harness, free fall 200 feet into the gorge and swing above the Zambezi River. If I'm not mistaken, that was one of the last challenges of the first race, if I'm not mistaken. And once they land it back on top, they get their next clue, which sends them to the detour. Crocs or canoes? In Crocs, teams had to travel crocodile's cage diving at Elephant's Walk Shopping and Artist Village, where they had to feed meat to two crocodiles on sticks being submerged underwater inside a metal cage below.
But do they get to wear Crocs while they're doing this?
They do not get to wear Crocs.
Darn!
It's not exactly Jurassic World, Gordon, so...
Gotcha.
Sorry,
that's too bad. It would have been more fun if they wore Crocs.
Yes, yeah. Agreed.
Once the meat was fed, they get their next clue. Meanwhile, in canoes, teams had to travel to the Zambezi River Lodge, where they had to get a canoe and paddle together across the river. Once they arrived at the riverbank, one team member had to hoist up, other gets into the air to retrieve the clue from a vulture's nest.
All right, this is a very easy decision here for me. Mm. You would go for the Crocs immediately. It's a very simple challenge. It doesn't take a lot of time. It's a little scary because you get to feed three crocodiles, but you're protected. This is one that everybody should have done because it's quick, it's down and dirty, it's done.
But what happened?
What happened?
That's what I'm getting there. What happened?
Chico, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, Jim was like...
No, I was just saying, but what happened? Did everybody go with the easy one?
No.
That would be too easy, and it wouldn't make for good television.
Of course.
Of course. In canoes, teams had to travel to... Oh, wait, we've already been through that. The clues after the detour instructed them to travel to the lion encounter at Masuwe Safari Lodge, where they grab two lions and walk them to the bush.
That's what she said.
Oh, my. But enough about the Detroit Lions.
Okay. Once they have
the show always gets more entertaining any time you have to walk through bush.
Oh, yeah. Saying. Okay. They went from the bush to an elephant skull with a safari instructor who must accompany them. And the clue dragged them to the pit stop, where, because of local customs, they must proceed to the lodge entrance with two women waiting them and wearing large cloths to tie above their heads in order to avoid fall the fruits down and walk carefully.
I liked the twist at the end of that, because it wasn't just a straight run. Now all of a sudden you have to do something. And I really wish that they had more of that in The Amazing Race. That was a lot of fun.
It really was. And, it was, it's always beautiful when they go to either Africa or Southern Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, do not fault The Amazing Race for having low production values. These guys are the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now that was very beautiful and very pretty, except for Jasmine and Danielle, because they finish in eighth and they're out. A dishonorable mention goes to Tiffany and Krista, who they finish mid-pack, but they decide to U-turn Justin and Diana, who were in first. So you sort of can't do that exactly.
Yeah, kind of defeats the purpose of it.
That was pretty much a wasted U-turn there.
Yes.
Meanwhile, we have to salute the winners, and in this race, oh my god, it's not Justin or Diana, and it's not Tanner and Josh. What the what?
What up with that?
It is Denise and James Earl. However, there's a little asterisk here. The reason why they won the lap was that they were the team that was given the second express pass, which was given to them by Tanner and Josh. And so, therefore, that's who they gave it to. Denise and James Earl decided to take advantage of it. They come in first place, and therefore, they get to take a trip to Bratislava, Slovakia.
Ooh, that's nice.
That's a very nice place. However, Jasmine and Danielle don't get to go anywhere except home.
Bye-bye. Well, maybe they'll get home in time to see game show royalty take on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire after, want to say, 15 years after his first appearance? Because if you remember back in the Ring of Fire era, we had a man by the name of Lechik Pavlovich. He did not get in the hot seat.
Well, keep in mind that Lechik is royalty because he was a 5-time Jeopardy champion. And he's done very well in many other tournaments, including, obviously, the Tournament of Champions and the Million Dollar Tournament. He didn't win it, but he was a factor in it.
Yes, he was.
And I believe he's also in Grand Slam.
Yes, he was. And a little known show by the name of History IQ. Maybe you've heard of it.
Oh, sure.
I have.
And then there was Win Ben Stein's Money. Basically, if there was a quiz show that was worth its weight in gold, Lechik was all over it, which is why he was not on the Million Second Quiz.
Oh, yes.
But his plus one was, and for my money, one of the better players they had on that series, a man by the name of Brandon Saunders, who, again, big heavy in the quiz world. Mm. So you have two heavies.
Got the second place, didn't win.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Lechik, he was just as unimportant to him as he was at Million Second Quiz.
Okay, so let's play it out here. We got to 5,000. We got to 50,000. Sorry, he still has the plus one, and he still has the Ask the Audience. The $100,000 question. If you are ready,
I am.
Dim the lights.
Seen in communities across America, what is the name of the shadowy figure in a cap who acts as the logo for the National Neighborhood Watch? Boris the Burglar, Ronald the Robber, Carl the Crook, or Theo the Thief?
See, I thought it was Mario the Mafioso.
No, that's the guy on Grease Live, but we'll get to that.
I thought, you know, Neighborhood Watch, doesn't the Mafia do that?
Oh, that's true.
I got a different kind of watch system in the Mafia, you know what I mean?
Right, I'll make you an offer you can't refuse, see?
Hey. You break my heart, dear. You're breaking my heart.
Well, Brandon Saunders broke Leszek's heart because he decided to go with Carl the Crook. Leszek decided to go with Carl the Crook with him also. The audience gave the right answer, which was Boris the Burglar.
Yeah, it was a plural. It was a 33% plurality, basically.
Yeah, audience was right. Brandon was wrong. Lessig is wrong, but Lessig does have $50,000 that he can go console himself with.
Yeah, I'd love to console myself with $50,000.
I hope to do that too in a few months. Oh, sorry. Anyway, continue.
Could you console yourself with some hamsters?
Ooh.
Yeah, because we don't have Jason to console himself with hamsters. So, Jim, it's all you, buddy.
Oh.
Hey, we got a new rookie. Hey, and here's the feedback, and here's the water, mm-hmm. and here is some, what do we call these things? Should we go toilet paper? Whatever that we would traditionally use to clean up hamsters and what they traditionally do.
Okay.
That is all you.
Thanks.
Okay,
yeah.
Actually, hold. Jim, Jason's home.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll see if we decide to invite Jason back to the next segment of our show. And we'll find out if we invite Jason in or not in after the break. You're listening to WLTI on the CLW83 network. You give us 22 minutes, and we will give you 22 ways that we can feed Jason Block after the next commercial. You'll understand what I mean if you stay tuned. This episode of WLTI has been brought to you by, once again, the breakfast version of GSN, the World Series, because not only do we have Trader Tots and, of course, Bandwagon Bacon, but we're also adding Mets Meatballs, because if you were rooting for the Mets since the beginning of time, which certain people on our panel wasn't, you're a gigantic meatball. That is the GSN and breakfast special, World Series style, because we have much more balls than you do.
We got balls, man.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, straight out of Brooklyn, by way of Flushing somehow, Jason Block is with us.
Very funny, very.
I'll tell you right now, Jim did a very excellent job playing your role, Jason.
But I can't.
That's good.
Thank you, but I can't shave my hair off. I'm sorry, I couldn't do that.
Why not? The ladies love it.
No. Well, this is true. This is true, but if you...
Well, the real question is, what is Jason eating first? The Mets meatballs, the Trader Tots, or the Bandwagon Bacon?
Good question.
I am actually going for the buffet special of all of them.
Yes.
Excellent.
Smorgasbord, as it were.
Because if you are going to play, say that, you know, this diehard Yankee fan is going to actually be a traitor, I must go all the way. So there you go.
Now, if you wanted to go all the way, you'd be rooting for the Royals. Hi, Arash. How are you doing?
Hey. By the way, when I met Brooklyn by way of Flushing, he was flushing the toilet, you see. And,
By the way,
I
flushed
I'm
myself
still rooting
everything
for the
Phillies
mighty
this season. So.
I'm still rooting for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, by the way.
You were saying?
Yes. Well, there you go. All right, let's get on. Get on with it.
Okay, real quick, Jason, your thoughts on the two premieres this week?
Well, I mean, look, the deal is this. With Jillian Michaels' Sweat, Inc., this is the story about Jillian Michaels being Jillian Michaels. It's all about her. And again, the show's formulaic, yada, yada, blah, blah, C-, okay?
Oh, you're much more nicer than we were.
Okay. Well, and, because it's just formulaic. But you see, but here's the thing. Hellevator, very simple, works as a seasonal special. I like the goofiness of it. I like what they're trying to do with it. I will give it a B+.
You're much nicer than we were about Sweat, Inc., but as far as Hellevator is concerned, you're pretty much in agreement with us. That's
good.
Yeah,
the thing is that it's fun for what it is. That's what I'm just saying. You do this every year, you know, three or four episodes during October. That's it, right?
Yeah, you know,
that's
about right. Okay, you see that pile of USA Today's from October 21st, 2015, with that guy on the cover? I need you to line the Choppler with it, because it's news time.
Okay, so let's do it. Done.
All right.
Doing it right now.
Okay. Gordon?
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can listen to WXRR, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, Rock 104, 104.5 on your FM dial. Catch Doug Morris on Rock Tracks every Sunday afternoon. You will not be disappointed. Meanwhile, let's go to... I'm gonna need that futuristic-looking bat cake.
Bat cake?
I see what you did there. It's the bat symbol, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
That's very nice. By the way, one of the things that we're going to be doing is we have two new segments for Brain Vision that we will be debuting, and I will be debuting both of them.
Yep.
So, however, Chico will be starting with one of our old faithfuls, which is the business end.
Yes, it is.
Start us up, Chico.
Okay, as you can see, or not see, because this is a podcast, a bat cake with the bat symbol on it, because it's Halloween. But we're thinking about the holidays now, because ABC is giving another look at the Great British Bake Off.
Oh, God. Really?
But here's the thing. They're bringing it back as the Great Holiday Baking Show. The Great Holiday Baking Show. And one of their judges, Mary Berry, is going to be a judge on our version. She's no Paul Hollywood, but then again, who is? And hosting it is Nia Vardalos. Again, no Jeff Foxworthy, but then again, who is?
Well, again, you know, here's the thing, and Gordon, believe it or not, I'm not going to just poo-poo this outright. The Great Christmas Light Fight, which we all despise, but makes money during the Christmas holidays. You put this in with the show, it's as a companion piece, it works, sadly.
It's also incredibly cheap to produce, it's just like the Christmas Light Fights. So right, it's incredibly cheap, so it works.
All right, I'll tell you right now, the judges are Mary Berry, Johnny Uzini, if you remember from Top Chef, and, again, Nia Vardalos is hosting, and it will be, and it'll premiere Monday, November 30th. And
during holiday rerun season. Makes sense. Perfectly
and
sense.
And
for 1 week later. Kwanzaa Ramadanica. Yes. Yep.
And probably after the season, well, maybe after the season finale of Dancing. I don't know. I don't have the date for that yet. But I do have the date for the Great Christmas Light Fight. It's back December 7th, so there's something to look forward to. Meanwhile, here's Gordon with our first new segment. Gordon.
Our first new segment is it's actually not our new segment, but we're actually bringing it back. It's called The Casting Couch.
Uh-oh. Yeah. It's
well, we find that there's lots of things that need to be casted. For example, Idiot Test, they're looking for more people for Idiot Test, which means obviously it's going to get renewed. And good on them. And good on them to Amy Intercaso Davis for once again putting on a good show with Elevator. Anything that either of you guys would like to tell Amy, by the way?
We've told her! Good God! Okay, look, I sent the edible arrangement. We've sent the edible arrangements. Look, it's done. Good grief.
It's Halloween season. Send her, like, a pumpkin full of candy.
Fine.
I'll tell her, you know what? I got a pumpkin spice latte with her name on it. There.
There you go. In addition to that, is your kid destined for dance stardom? They're looking for, once again, a season with dance moms, with our favorite, Are You Smarter Than person from last week, Abby. Yay, Abby.
Isn't she really? Chill? I'm pretty sure she's chill.
I got nothing.
So, in addition to that, once again, we have a new season of Dating Naked. Looking for people for that.
God.
I know any and all of us are really good.
Yeah, don't do me like that, baby. No.
Flexing.
And we have season 8 of Worst Cooks in America. They're looking for people.
Yeah.
Jason, you should sign up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Interesting you bring up Worst Cooks in America, Jason. Or Gordon, sorry.
And finally, We need, if you're looking to clean out your closet or apartment or car, people, there's a casting company looking for you. Shut up, Block.
Whoopee. Well, back to Worst Cooks in America. You brought that up, right?
I did.
Okay, well, that's actually in our date book, which I have right in front of me.
Excellent.
Okay, we have the season finale. Who is the best worst celebrity cook ever? We'll find that out on Wednesday, one day after the season finale of Face Off, which is one day after the season finale of Halloween Baking Championship. Meanwhile, on November 1st, begins the Holiday Baking Championship on Food Network. Because that's the Sunday night rule on Food Network. We have to have guys' grocery games, we have to have cutthroat, and we have to have a baking championship of some sort.
Oh, boy. Really?
And we have to have really stupid people.
We do have to have really stupid people. Depending and I guess you
no
have...
bounds.
Yeah, I guess you have some stupid people.
Not only do I have stupid people, I've got video this week.
Ooh,
are you
really
kidding me?
I am not.
Stop the madness.
And I'm sure, actually, I probably won't have to show the video because I'm sure that we can put it up. I'm sure Jim can find this quite easily. Are you smarter than Amber Lancaster?
Oh, poor Amber.
Whoops. At least she didn't give away a car. She just fell on her assets.
She fell on her tuchus and took out half the stage lights with her.
Yeah. She had, or as we like to say, Amber had a Holly Hallstrom moment.
She did. Let's put that video up there, please.
Okay, video courtesy of CBS and Fremantle Media.
Comp with an 89cc engine and dual front running lights.
Now, Amber's right here to help us out. 7,387 or 5,598 for the two of them. What do you think? 7,000 or 5,000?
I'm going to say 5,598.
5,598. All right. Ready, Amber? Here we go. 5,598. One, two, three. Let's give it to her, of course. Easy peasy. That's all there is to it. We're going to be back with the Showcase Showdown right after this. That's where we spin the wheel. We got the showcases right after that. Amber and Rachel. Oh, jeez.
Did I do that? Oh.
We're going to fix that light bulb. We'll be right back, folks.
Are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just going to die of embarrassment. Okay,
good. Ouch.
It's not easy being a model in those heels, folks.
It really
no.
is.
No, apparently it isn't.
Gordon knows it firsthand, don't you, Gordon?
Not from the high heels. No, that's Jason. Jason knows that. But we're not done yet.
Hey,
now. Are you smarter? Then now, I was not going to, you know, make fun of the Kardashians or of Lamar Odom and Lamar, please, you know, get better soon. So therefore, I'm going to do the next best thing. Are you smarter than Malika Hack, Khloe Kardashian's best friend, who appears on Keeping Up with Kardashians, and right now she's going to be appearing in your local jail near you after she was arrested for DUI after crashing her car on the Los Angeles freeway?
I'm telling you, everything and everybody the Kardashians touch turns to poop.
Yes, it does.
Or changes their genders.
Damn you, Ray J. Sorry, I had to say it.
Remember, Kim Kardashian is known for two things: having a big ass and a sex tape.
That's right.
That's it. Yep.
Okay. And after hearing that name, I think I need to get fully loaded, so...
So where you
what going? About some Haterade? Would you like some Haterade?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm drinking some Haterade right now.
Do you
Why
have
not?
Fruit punch flavor, anybody? Fruit punch flavor?
Yes. Well, anyway, let's go back to the Kardashians right now.
Oh,
it looks like Khloe Kardashian is going to get stuck paying a $79,000 brothel bill.
Ew.
You want now? I know this story because let me give this for you, okay? So Lamar Odom checks into the Bunny Ranch and leaves a credit card for his cocaine and Viagra filled, you know,
herbal
brothel
Viagra.
Okay, except that if Dennis Hoff said, because they're still married, because if you remember this week, they said, we're calling off the divorce, and the credit card is denied, guess who gets stuck with the bill? Chloe!
Yay!
Second thoughts real quick. It just sat all the way around.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Moving on. Please.
I think Chloe needs to get fully loaded, but
I think we need some culture up in here. Can we get some culture up in here?
Culture.
Okay. Chris Hardwick spent 24 hours plus reading Moby Dick on Periscope.
Okay.
And he publicized this on his show at midnight. And meanwhile, you know, it's fun while it lasted, and it was to celebrate actually the an anniversary of its publishing. So there's your culture for this week. Now back to a bunch of trash. Mark Wahlberg, again, not Mark Wahlberg personally, but Mark Wahlberg is bringing Let's Make a Deal to Michigan. And it's going to be the same deal as Price is Right Live, only it's going to be Let's Make a Deal Live.
Mm. Well, I believe Let's Make a Deal is going to be at Foxwoods this coming weekend, along with Price is Right Live, which is going to be in the New Jersey Performing Arts Center in Newark. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of actually trying to see if I could get a press pass to see the show and talk to people. So we'll see.
Okay. Definitely got to say, if you've never gone to, I haven't done Let's Make a Deal, but if you've never gone to see the Price is Right Live stage show, you must. It's a lot of fun.
I've seen it twice when it was in town. Todd Newton was hosting both of them, and it was a show, let me tell you.
Hey, I got Mark Summers to laugh at me making fun of myself the one time. So
yeah, and Gordon, we've seen it, what, about five times with different hosts?
We've seen it a bunch of times with different hosts. But you know what? This moves right into our newest thing that we are debuting on Brain Vision, and it is called Now Taping.
Mm.
We are going to be talking to you about present and future tapings of shows, and maybe give you a little insight on shows that we don't know about yet, but it's sort of the press releases haven't gone out, but we know that they're in existence. So we shall start with this is the last week that Let's Make a Deal is going to be taping. They are finishing up, they're wrapping up season 7, which is crazy thinking about that the beginning of November, and they're already done with their season tapings.
Well, they do 175 shows in what, 4 months?
That's basically what you do in the game show world.
Pretty much to accommodate everything Wayne Brady does that's not deal, which is a lot.
Including
keep in mind that unlike on the East Coast, on the West Coast they do tape on Sundays. That's why the reason why it's being moved quicker than it would be on the East Coast. Where usually, like, for example, Millionaire is usually done between December and February in terms of tapings.
Mm. And the reason why I think they're also accommodating is because Wayne Brady is doing a Broadway run right now. He's actually going to start, I believe, in a couple of weeks, taking over from Billy Porter in Kinky Boots, which is going to be really a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's Kinky Boots. It's got to be fun.
I believe that's
his
second.
You know what else is fun? And I think Chico agrees with me on this. What else is fun is ninjas. Do you like ninjas?
I love ninjas.
They are now taping Team Ninja Warrior.
Ninja, please.
Yeah, we talked about this
apparently
a couple weeks ago.
The top American Ninja Warriors from around the country are forming teams of three and are racing head-to-head to an expanded version of the world's toughest obstacle course. The teams with the fastest cumulative times advance to the finals, where one team will walk home with bragging rights and a cash prize.
Oh, it's teams of three now? Because when it was pitched, it was teams of two.
Well, now it's teams of three, so that's going to be interesting to see where that is. And that is going to be taping. Actually, that has already been taping. That's taping this past weekend. Also taping this past weekend and continuing on, Little Big Shots. It's NBC's new talent show for kids, and it looks like it's going to be from executive producers Ellen DeGeneres and Steve Harvey. So Steve Harvey may be hosting this.
My man!
It's kids and a talent show.
What could go wrong? Again, kids and animals. What could possibly go wrong?
And don't be surprised if we see kids that, let's just say, have been on other talent shows that decide to be on this one. Mm. Also taping this week, new episodes of Beat Bobby, I'm sorry, returning in December 15, 2015, not yet, but in December, Beat Bobby Flay, new season is there. So that's going to be coming up. And finally, in early November, there's a new show called Be the Idol. Interesting. Now, it looks like it's being taken from an Asian format. Because you have, they're doing promo work on it, and looks like there's a lot of Asian people, and the title is also, and I want to say Japanese. I am not 100% sure on the ethnicity of the text, so if I'm wrong, please don't shoot me. But it is tentatively called Be the Idol.
All right, well, that'll be interesting. But going back to
and
Steve...
And so those are all things that are taping now.
All right, and back to Steve Harvey for a moment. Let's take a trip, shall we?
To where, okay. Mark?
We're going to India.
Ooh.
I like curry. They're playing The Feud in India, folks.
How do you say penis in Indian, in Hindi? That's what I want.
Oh, jeez.
That's
I don't
Naked
know.
Grandma.
That's horrible.
Do we know who the host is?
We do. Comedian by the name of Mantra. And it will air on Big Magic from October 26th, which is this Monday, every Monday to Thursday at 8:30 local time. And it's taking the Family Fortunes moniker instead of the Family Feud one because, well, it's actually going to be the Indian adaptation of the British format. So you have single money, you got double money, and you got big money.
Big money, yeah. Sorry, I'm obliged when you mention Family Fortunes to do my ode to Max Bygraves.
Well, in that case, one more time. You got single money, you got double money.
Double money, and big money.
Very nice.
Now, do you have media hoe money?
We have big media hoes, don't we?
We do. Now, I'm going to try to avoid any and all Kardashian references when we talk about the media hoes. I will try. I will try. Anyway, on this week's Hoodonger, Gwen Stefani releases her new music video called Used to Love You. Paula Deen talks about, oh, well, I thought I'd be gone in 2 weeks. The judges were so hard on me. Shut up. That's all I have to say. Jennifer Lopez is flaunting her new eyewear during the Rock the Casbah premiere. Yay? Maybe?
Yes.
No?
Too busy looking at her backside wear, quite frankly.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, I love her other
eyes.
I need
something that will protect my eyes from that ass.
Yes.
Booty.
Donald Trump is too busy campaigning to be on Jimmy Kimmel, so he cancels the appearance, and Jimmy Kimmel rips him the new one.
Yitch.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
But he's willing to be on SNL, so, oh, wait.
There you go. Top Chefs. Season number 13 will be premiering December 2nd. They will have 17 new chef testants. And obviously, you would think that they would be pulling out all the stops for that. CeeLo Green gets engaged to longtime girlfriend Sonny James, and she has applied to go back on The Voice. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. And finally, Kelly Clarkson is pregnant with her second child, and it's a boy.
Kelly Clarkson! Good for her.
But actually, no, one more thing. Nene Leakes is returning to Broadway for starring in Chicago, and that's going to be next month. But none of these people are your hole of the week.
Oh.
Who have you?
You have your hole of the week is the voice coach, Adam Levine. He's got a new album, he's got a new video for Moon 5, and his latest gig may be Super Bowl 50. They may be the halftime performance group for the Super Bowl that is next year.
That's not a bad choice if you really want to get the younger demographic.
Here's the thing. This is the 50th Super Bowl, so they could not get up with people?
Oh, come on. Really?
No. I want Elvis Presto to come back.
Elvis.
The magician from Super Bowl 23. Yes.
Oh, God.
And hopefully he could make Jim Williams disappear.
But I don't know if it was mentioned in the first round, but also in sort of in the media ho thing, get well wishes to Bob Barker after his slip and fall this week.
Actually, we did not discuss it, so we will. Bob Barker, get well soon, please.
Get well, Barker.
Your head, preferably attached to the rest of your body.
Oh, my.
And those are your hoes.
And that is Brain Vision.
Okay, so I've lined the chopper. Are we good?
We're good. Shut it down.
Shutting down. So what do we got?
Okay, coming up next.
What we have next is a combination of the fastest 5.5 minutes of our recaps with a new game. We'll explain that when we come back to the break, which will be right after this.
Brought to you by Hell Escalator. It doesn't really go anywhere. And in the end, isn't that scary enough? Just don't hit the up button, or you're gonna fall off the top.
It's Ben Carson hosting that show because he's probably the scariest thing that's around.
Oh my.
Ah,
Ben Carson is a scary, scary dude.
Yeah.
Everybody running is a scary dude or dudette. Come on.
Oh, yeah. But that's another podcast.
Yes, it
is. Right now, we're going with the only podcast with its own cool-looking clock.
We're sure it's not a clock.
But we're not going to go through this in 5.5 minutes. We're actually going to be using this for the fodder of our new game. Chico, would you like to explain to us what the new game is?
I would love to explain what the new game is. The new game is Room 101.
Hey, whoa. Hold on, okay? We know that WLTI, you know, we love all our podcasts here. You're stealing an element from our show, the North American Wrestling Connection.
Presented by WrestleChat.net.
I totally did not even know that.
No, we actually ripped off something that was more high concept.
Very nice. Okay. Well played. Okay, explain.
Okay, ripped off from the TV show of the same name about the room in 1984 that allegedly contained the worst thing in the world. Panelists must argue either for or against a tribute to be banished from the world forever in Room 101. We did rip this off of NAWC, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
But you know
now,
what?
Here's the catch. The catch is that the items for tribute will be part of what has happened this week on the shows that we have not talked about.
Uh-huh.
So, Chico, would you like to start this discussion, or would you like me to?
I will gladly start the discussion. And the first thing I'm going to start off with is Jillian Michaels from Sweat Incorporated and The Biggest Loser and anything else that she can put her face on and her midsection and her belly button. Okay, arguing for banishment will be Jason. Arguing against banishment will be Gordon. And
of course.
And I will determine whether she is spared or whether she is banished.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Block, the floor is yours.
Jillian Michaels should be banned for this reason and this reason only. She is part of a culture which has been gone on for years and enhanced through television for unhealthy weight loss. What she has done is her bullying, nasty methods combined with a quick rich scheme which she has put on things like I believe it's Bowflex or Tread Climber, whatever it is. All her faces all over the place. It's not very good, and her legacy.
Okay, Jillian Michaels is one of the reasons why NBC is on the map to begin with. Okay, in terms of Jillian Michaels, in terms of her stuff, she's the reason why The Biggest Loser was the number one hit in the summer for, I believe, 6 or 7 straight summers. And that was even during the era of America's Got Talent. So So she is far and away, from an NBC merchandising standpoint, one of the biggest reasons why NBC is even in existence right now. She has made billions of dollars for NBC, and guess what? Regardless of the methods that you feel that she's used, she has lost a lot of weight, and she has made a lot of people happy.
Okay. All right, let's take a look from both standpoints here. Jillian has lost a lot of weight, and she's used that ability to further others. On the other hand, she does attach herself to anything and everything. But if NBC was going to be on the map, they would have been on the map not with The Biggest Loser, but with America's Got Talent and American Ninja Warrior. And therefore, it is my decision that Jillian Michaels shall be banished.
What? No. Well, first of all, number one, I think you're first of all, I'm arguing for a point which I actually don't necessarily believe in. Okay? I actually think that Jillian Michaels wasn't the problem. The problem was the program itself, not her.
More the producers than the talent.
Yes, exactly.
Teamed with the producers for Sweat Incorporated, so.
What did you say?
Yet she teamed with the producers for Sweat Incorporated.
Fine. Well, you're the judge, but I... Well, fine.
He's judge, jury, and executioner. Bye, Felicia.
Gordon. The next tribute, Gordon.
All right. Next tribute is... And this is from Jeopardy. Because it's one of the things that we didn't discuss earlier that we're going to discuss now. Is... Final Jeopardy's answer, and it's a video, and I couldn't make a worse answer to this if I tried. It's the picture of a bleeding heart flower, and the flower is pictured here is called this, also a disparaging term for people on the political left. The right answer is, what is a bleeding heart? The contestant put down, what is a pansy? So the question is, shall we banish this or not? Jim Williams is going to argue for, and Jason Block, my favorite Jeopardy person in the whole wide world, will argue against. And go.
Go ahead. All right. Okay. Go ahead, Jim.
Argue for this person going into room 101. Well, it's very simple. Okay. Obviously, this is it was a gotcha thing from Jeopardy, and obviously, this guy's a conservative. This person who made this final Jeopardy answer. Conservative, and you're going to just take a little shot. Maybe didn't know the answer. Just take a shot in the dark. Far left pansy. Come on now. It's ridiculous. It's bunkum. Come on. You're better than that. You got on Jeopardy with better answers than that. You know, wise up. Show a little class, a little decorum, if you will.
Jim, you see... Speech is speech, and everything is protected, even idiocy and or a necessarily a pretty funny answer, if you ask me.
But you can see
because a pansy, yes, is a flower, but yes, if you are sensitive to anything, and in the 2015 world of offending everybody, you know, the word pansy back in the, you know, 50s and 60s was used in a derogatory way. I thought it was funny. I don't think the guy should be banned. I think it's pretty funny. And for once, it's nice to actually see Jeopardy, who does lean to the left in a lot of their clues, get a little shot back to it. So, why not?
All right, Gordon, the decision, as always, is yours.
I am actually going to, just because it's given Jeopardy a rare piece of humor where it hasn't been, I'm going to spare Jeopardy from banishment because we need more humor, albeit unintentional.
Gordon purposely made me go for banishment just so I could lose on purpose.
No. Well, honestly,
Jason, you're right. I mean, really.
But I will also say this: Jeopardy are going to get letters from, you know, from the people. All that stuff. You know,
Bernie Sanders is on the phone right now. Are you kidding me?
I'm telling you, I'm not a lightweight. I'm not a pansy, and I'm a socialist. I'm a socialist communist. Whatever.
Thank you, Larry David. Yes.
All right.
Can I get off your lawn now, Jason?
Get off my lawn.
All right. Next, Jill Marini on Devious Maids on Celebrity Name Game, who only got one answer in the opening round. So, arguing four would be... I think I'm going to make Jim argue for, and I think I'm going to make Gordon argue against.
Chico, make Jason argue. Make either Jason argue against or give me a minute. Hold on.
Okay. Jason, you can argue against.
Okay, sure.
All right. Jim, floor is yours.
You only get one name in Celebrity Name Game in the first round. You have 45 seconds. Off you go, and your brain goes off. That's not what TV's Craig Ferguson wants you to do. Are you in touch with pop culture? Are you in touch with, the world around you? These are names. These are names anybody can get. I could get them, but I can't be a guest on the show because I'm busy going for another show. Come on. Really? I mean, come on. Was the celebrity pool that bad this day? I mean, come on.
Okay. Jason.
Not every celebrity contestant can be Henry Pollack II, Betty White, Charles Nelson Reilly, Brett Summers, et al. Some people are good game players. Some people are not. In this particular case, she was not. It happens.
Some are Jack A. Harry.
Some are late-run pyramid players. What can I say?
Yes, exactly.
Some are Jonathan Turturro.
Yes, he can go.
Yeah. Okay, John Turturro, banished. However, let's see. I'm looking back on this game. Jill Marini got his team one word. The star that was playing against him, Tichina Arnold of Survivor's Remorse, got three. And then you turn around, flip it, and reverse it. Jill Marini got his team three words. Tichina Arnold got her team 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And ultimately, they lost the bonus. I may have to caucus with Gordon here. Gordon, do you have anything that'll change my mind one way or another?
He stepped away, so okay. You're going to have to make decision.
I don't want to make the... Yeah, I do. It is...
Yeah, of course you do. Would you? Yeah, okay.
Okay, I want to make this decision. And you probably already saw it coming. It is the decision... It is my decision that Jill Marini shall be... banished to room 101.
All right, so now my second item that I'm going to put up for your approval, or for your disapproval, I should say, Sherry's performance on Wheel of Fortune. Now, Sherry won every single thing that she had. She actually, I believe, had the highest main game total. But the question is, because was she there because she was a good game player, or was it because of the inflated dollar amount? So I'm going to put the inflated dollar amounts up to be banished and bring it back to the good old game, to the good old days. And Chico, you will be arguing for, and Jim Williams, you'll be arguing against, and entertain me.
Okay, the inflated dollar values, we're just making it rain, not only trying to get the contestants' money up, also trying to get the numbers up, because we have a problem here, and its name is Family Feud, and it's not going away anytime soon, so we're going to get this money up. Get this money up, get people talking about it again.
Okay. I have no problem with this whatsoever because the times are a-changing. We are not in the day and age of buying $250 ceramic Dalmatians anymore. You know, it's natural progression, and if you want to be technical, the amounts on the wheel themselves have actually decreased this season. So, inflation my eye.
One of the things that neither of you guys focused on was the fact that part of the reason why the money was so big was the number of $5,000 spaces that was hit. I believe it was hit 9 times during the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
Fucking skill.
And so, therefore, I am going to not banish it, and I'm going to be a nice person.
Thank you.
Chico is being mean, I'm being nice. What the heck is wrong here?
Cats and dogs.
Right, Chico, you're
next. And dogs sleeping with each other, Bill Murray, all that stuff.
Team Team.
Next up. it seems like we're going... seems like Food Network has... Every week, it seems like there's a new baking competition on Food Network. Or a baking championship on Food Network. We got the Holiday Baking Championship. We got the Kids Baking Championship. Should baking championships be banished? I'll give Gordon 4, and I will give Jason against.
Well, present. I actually wouldn't have an issue with it, except that it's doing the exact same thing. There is no creativity. There's no competition. Everything is the same thing. It is generic. And we're seeing the same contestants. Everything is the same. I'm getting a case of ennui. Yes, banish it.
Jason.
But you see, everything is not the same. The technique may be same. The competition may be the same. But the idea is that the themes are different. What you're doing is that you are... there are different things that you have to emphasize during every theme, so I'm going to say no, you can't ban it. Hello?
Something... Hello? Okay, Jason says there's a variation on the theme. Gordon says there's no variation on gameplay. The variation on a theme, yeah. It's not exactly Ink Master, where you have A, and then you have something else entirely. So I think I'm going to be a nice person and spare it.
You just don't like me.
I gave you one, dude. Shut up.
You're out of your mind, personally, because I agree with Gordon.
See, we both think you're crazy. So there.
Bring back the Pillsbury Bake-Off every 2 years.
They already brought back the Pillsbury. That's why they can't use the term the Great British Bake Off, you see.
All right, because we don't like you. It's the final one, and I'm going to have Jason and Jim tag team up on Chico.
Ooh. Oh, you guys right. suck.
High five and white guys, yeah.
Oh, good, yay.
So, finally this week, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego turns 30 years old?
Holy now, this God. Is the computer which, game, not the...
this is the yes, the computer good. Game, which inspired the TV game show, and they had a whole big thing with Rockapella. I want Chico to explain to me why we should banish not the show, because the show obviously isn't, but the Mashable version of the song with Rockapella. And I want Jason and Jim to both defend it. And go.
Do you want me to argue against Where in the World is
Carmen Sandiego? I want you to argue that the song and the Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego song should be sent into the great hereafter.
Oh, Gordon, I hate you.
nice.
Okay, it is what you call an earworm. You get the hook out there. It will never, ever, ever go away. And honestly, do you want to be humming that at a very inopportune moment?
Absolutely. Here's the deal.
Yeah, Jason, go ahead.
Here's the deal. It is actually, and I think one of the top 10 classic game show themes of all time. Okay, you can put this up there with any game show theme, and the fact is, it's got words to it, and it actually, the theme works, the song works, everything works. Go on, Jim.
And plus, it has a life all its own. Because if you have been searching around them their internets, it's been parodied a lot recently. Have you seen the version featuring El Chapo? Yes, El Chapo has the Carmen Sandiego treatment, brothers. So, you know, plus, Rockapella is amazing. How can you say no to Rockapella? Saying no to Rockapella is like saying no to, help me out here, Jason.
To apple pie. To apple pie. To the bald eagle. To the Constitution of the United States. God to the Toronto Pilot.
Oh, wait, that's good.
And God bless the United States of America. Go on.
Okay, I
think God bless the New York Mets, apparently. Yes, I'm spurring the show. Kiko, did you enjoy yourself?
I hate you, Gordon.
Okay, good.
Okay, a little bit of trivia. That was one of the last works for the UNC Accordance that I arranged.
Ah, okay, cool.
So, yeah.
That's why I wanted to punish Chico. And before we get to the big finish, I will punish Chico some more. As this break has been brought to you today by the Bachelor Pad. Mm-hmm. Notebook and paper. Because when Chico has to write notes for the next show, he has to have the Bachelor Pad, complete with the Bachelor Pencil. It's a Bachelor Notepad paper. You can have the Bachelor reminding you on your refrigerator door every single day.
And the eraser is shaped like a rose.
The eraser is cheap, just like the show and the women.
Oh, how about that? Jim and Gordon tag teaming on the commercial against me as well. Everybody's just after me today for some reason.
Now you know what I feel like usually on this show.
And on that note, we will start with a big finish starting... Actually, not the big finish. We'll start with the speed round, and that is starting now. Survivor. We all believe that Terry's going bye-bye this week?
He's kind of have to. I mean, it's almost a given, right?
Alvedersen.
Who's? I didn't hear the name.
Terry.
Yeah, he's probably, yep. Gotta go.
Everybody hates him. All right.
Alvedersen, Jeopardy. Are we having anything winners going into November sweep?
No, I think they have their big one. They have their big one who's going to be on the Tournament of Champions in a couple of weeks, right?
That's right.
That's what we think. Dancing with the Stars, bye-bye Paula Deen. Who's next?
Paula Deen went bye-bye. Finally. Officially.
Yo.
Yes.
All I got to say is, with the way Liam Remini's filling in, maybe it should be bye-bye Aaron Andrews as co-host. Just saying.
Well,
Amazing Race. Moving on. Amazing Race. Is the getting rid of Justin Diane, is that finally going to work out or no?
Well, not exactly. They've been consistent over the last month or so. If anybody's in danger, it would have to be the Jets cheerleaders.
Sadly, yeah. Yes.
I think the Patriots may be coming to roost momentarily for them. We have any.
Actually, we do. Hold on, let me open up our mailbox. By the way, if you ever want to send us an email, where do they send it?
They send it to We Love to Interrupt at gameshow@gsnn.com, or go to Facebook, or go to YouTube, or go to anywhere, pretty much.
However, Twitter's
good. However, if it's the email that I think we're going to be getting, do not send us something like this.
It's my inbox is still open. Jason, plug something.
All right, of course I'll plug something. North American Wrestling Connection is sponsored by WrestleChat.net. The freaking awesome network. I was not there last night, but I believe you talked about the Road to Hell in a Cell, which mm-hmm. happens this Sunday on pay-per-view for $9.99. We are recording a World Series preview edition of Touch 'Em All with you, Jim, myself, and a couple of others, hopefully sometime this weekend, but before Tuesday, as the New York Mets play the Kansas City Royals. BS Big Show was winged.
I'll be bringing the bandwagon bacon, too.
Yeah, Metsy.
Yes, you will. BS Big Show was talking about week. We're in week seven already. That's crazy. We're almost halfway through the football
Holy
season.
Holy fan cruel. Yes.
Yes. Exactly. Pixel Nation with Brian Henniger. Black Friday is happening 3 weeks away, and I think I just got a very good suggestion as what not to do with my cards. Thank you very much. let's just I'll just hold on to them, and we shall see how that goes. And and of course, Red State Blue State eventually, and all that good stuff. Here on CLW83, Stitcher.com, Player.fm, TuneIn Radio, and Overcast.
Kick the computer, Chico. Kick it. Make sure the inbox is up.
There we go. We've got it up, and here it is. And oh, Gordon, it's from your favorite person.
Identity Withheld. Is that my favorite?
That's your favorite.
Excellent.
Okay. It basically says, I would love to play Deal or No Deal.
Actually, it was, I would love to pay Deal or No Deal.
I would love to pay Deal or No Deal.
I would love you to pay us also, but we don't accept money. But if we did, I would be glad to take yours.
Well, here's the thing. You see those little green slips of paper inside of your mommy's purse?
Hold on. Okay, first of all, number one, why don't we really get real? Number one, Deal or No Deal has been out of production in the United States for, I believe, about 5 years now, right?
Yeah.
Two, we are not affiliated, while we have affiliations, per se, with contacts with other game shows. We do not have any casting information that is not only public or inside, you know, just their public. When we get casting information, we present it as is, okay? Mm-hmm. We have no connections, etc., etc., etc. Pretty much. Is that about right?
WLPI cares.
That sounds good to me. But hopefully, at this point, we have entertained you for at least the past hour and a half to 2 hours.
Oh, of course.
Special thanks again to Jason Block for being there with us during his time of need, and for Jim Williams to be there during our time of need.
Yes. My pleasure.
Chico, anything you wanted to say?
What do I want to say? First of all, happy Halloween, everybody. And when we come back next week, we're going to have something even scary. The demise of Terry Dietz, because nobody likes him.
Mm.
We're also going to
if we don't record this for Halloween, just a couple of quick tips, okay? Make sure your costume is lit, okay? It is bright with, you know, tape, and make sure that your moms and dads, make sure, check the candy. Check the damn candy. Okay.
And most importantly, if you're in the greater Brooklyn area, do not go to the apartment building that is now, for some reason, over top of the pinstripes and the NY from the Yankees, has a big orange and blue NY out front pasted. Do not go there. They will not give you anything but a hard time. Isn't that right?
Ha, ha, ha. And also, seriously, don't drink and drive. Do not drink and drive. Call somebody. There are going to be
Uber. Don't drink and trick or treat.
Uber.
Agreed. Anyway, from all of us to all of you, this is Gordon Pepper saying happy Halloween. Please be safe out there, and game over, and spread the love.
Whee!